My name's Kurt, and thank you for allowing us to come into your living room, into your car, into the coffee shop, wherever you may be sitting right now. This is kind of unique for us, but I tell you what, the last few days have been really, really weird, have they not? I mean, just a lot of things happening that are not normal in our world that we've not experienced. Many of us may be experiencing this kind of rapid change for the very first time. And so we just thought we would take a little time and talk about, you know, how we respond to this. In fact, us even coming to you on a virtual platform this weekend is a part of that response of how we're trying to be a good citizen and how we're trying to love our neighbor and yet at the same time bring hope and some encouragement to you and maybe even make you laugh because we know that's important as well. So, you know, part of what's made this so difficult is that, you know, there's a lot of stuff floating out there, a lot of information, a lot of misinformation. And do we, you know, we don't know exactly what we should be taking seriously, what we don't take seriously, but we're beginning to see that this coronavirus is a real thing. It's impacting our lives. It's impacting our businesses, our small businesses, finances, retirement accounts, schools now, even our patterns with church. And so we're beginning to realize this is having a major effect on our lives. And so one of the questions that we've just been trying to wrestle with is how do we respond to this? And as we think about this, I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul says, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of discipline. And as we think about this, you know, we have to remember that God does not want us to live fearfully. He's actually put a confidence in us. And so he wants us to live out of a power. He wants us to live out of love for others. We're talking about how to be a great neighbor, how to love those around us, but also how to do that out of discipline, how to have a sound mind and be thoughtful in our decisions. So that doesn't mean that we disregard, you know, taking, you know, social precautions and if we're sick, you know, staying home. We need to do those things. But at the same time, you know, we should not be living out of fear. God says, I am there. I am with you. I will carry you through this. And so it really kind of helps delineate for us where our trust is. In fact, I heard a story just this past week about Warren Buffett and how he at one point had said, you know, that when the tide goes out, it reveals in the water who is not wearing any shorts. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, it's interesting because, you know, it's really one of these moments like we're having right now, one of these defining moments where we're kind of really seeing who has faith and who doesn't. And if we're all freaking out and panicking, I don't know that that's what God wants us doing, but he does want us to be thoughtful and to be trusting and to be looking for opportunities to make a difference and be a blessing to others. And so we want to be different. We want to challenge you to be different. We want to have a different posture, a different way we're serving, different way we're approaching things. We want to be thoughtful in that as well. And, you know, I know our hearts are burdened for this growing epidemic. And so I just want to invite us to take a moment and pray for our country, for our world, and for our leaders, and for all of those who are working to address this within our community. So I invite you to join me in that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together in this way on a digital platform, a unique, unique way that is only made possible because of the advancement of technology. And even right now, as we are gathered in living rooms and coffee shops, maybe we're watching this in bed, maybe we are on our workout and we're listening, whatever we may be doing, we can join in one heart and one mind and come to you. And you are still a sovereign God. Even amidst all the changes and the varying variables that are going on in our world around us, you are still God. And we thank you for that. And so we just want to pray for all the health and for all the souls in the world who are being touched right now by the coronavirus. We pray for wisdom and we pray for insight, not only for the medical community, but for the research community, and for the leaders of our country, the leaders of our world, and the leaders right here in our community that are making decisions on how we can eradicate this and we can get past this. And so we just trust that your hand will be very present, that your Holy Spirit will guide us. And we pray specifically for those who've been affected by the virus. We know that it has varying implications, even death in some cases. So we just pray that you would be very present and people would see your hand in the midst of what's going on around us right now. And so, God, again, thank you that we can call on you in moments like this and that we can reach to you. And, God, that you hear us and that you respond. And we pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. All right. Well, hey, this weekend, as I said, we are coming to you digitally. And so we just really believe that, you know, the tension we've been in is how do we be a responsible citizen and yet continue to inspire and bring hope and even make you smile. And that's one of the things we do every week. And we think the world continues to need all of those things. And so here we are. Just a couple things as we think about going forward through this week. In your app, if you have the CrossPoint app, there is a digital connection card. And so you can take that out. You can fill that out. If you're watching online, it'll help us know how many people are tracking with this. We'd love to see information that you have. Also, there's a way to share prayer requests on there. And so you can either hit the button on there that's to submit prayer requests. And if you need some kind of contact, just let us know. But we will be mindful and praying for you as you submit those things. And then at the same time, there are going to be small group guides available. And so if your small group is interested in continuing to meet, we're going to ask you to use discernment. But small group guides will be available this week for those of you that do gather. And you can continue to be in community together. Now, a couple things going on. Easter is coming. It is coming in here a few short weeks, and we are still planning on being live on that weekend. Obviously, time will tell, but Easter is April 9 and 12. This year we have four identical services, and so we are pushing forward with those plans unless we need to change and do differently. The first one's Thursday, April 9th, and so if you want to sleep in Sunday and you want to do all your bunnies and peeps and brunch, go ahead and do that, and then we're going to have three identical options on Sunday morning, 8:45, 10:10, and 11:30. And then there's all kinds of ways to serve. So in the app, again, you can hit the link to what's happening, and there's a place to fill out a volunteer at Easter survey form. So we just invite you to do that if you'd like to be a part of the serving team on that weekend. And then also, we have a Good Friday double feature movie on the Good Friday on April 10th. And so, again, this is still on. Plans may change, but just keep it on your radar. Tickets are available through the Facebook and through our app and web as well. They're free, but you do have to secure them. That's going to be lots of fun. Food trucks, popcorn, all kinds of fun stuff. Now, whether you're around your device, whether you're sitting around your TV with a bunch of friends and you've invited people in, as we've encouraged you to do, or you're sitting by yourself and you're just taking kind of a private moment to worship, man, we are glad that you've joined us. We've got a great service for you today. And we're going to be looking at this first blessed practice. We're looking at how we can be a blessing to people. And Jesus gives us a strategy, and it spells the acronym BLESS. And so tonight, we're going to take a look at how we begin with prayer. And I don't know that there's anything more powerful, especially in the season that we're in right now and the needs that are all around us, for us to be a great neighbor than to begin with prayer and say, God, who can I be a blessing to? Help me be wise. Show me people that I need to intervene or maybe be just a help or serve in some unique way. Because this is where Jesus started all the time.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the neighborhood. My name is Mark, if we haven't met. Community care pastor here, as well as student ministries. And isn't it just amazing how prayer travels? I mean, it travels the same way that Mr. Rogers had a way of traveling into our living rooms, traveling right on our couch. And you know, Mr. Rogers just had a way of having an impact on all of us because he helps us to remember the small things. He helps us to notice what's most important. And he reminds us how we too can have an impact, make a difference, make a change in the lives of people when we decide to submit them and commit them in prayer. And when we think about the impact that prayer can have, it's amazing how it can travel to places and spaces that you and I might never even travel to, and yet there's something beautiful about prayer. And so today, as we continue our series on how to be a great neighbor, I think it would just be important for us to know that we're continuing this series around this idea of blessed practices. And so today, we're continuing to to see how to be a great neighbor. And through this series, we're looking at our mission right here at Crosspoint, which is, I'm sure for some of you, this is a pop quiz, those of you who are watching, but the mission is simply helping people find their way to God. And you know, last week, we said last week that it's more than just hoping people find their way to God, but it's helping people find their way to God. And see, that's a little different because that requires some movement, that requires some participation. It requires that you and me, that we get up and we have to actually do something to help people find their way to God. And you know, the coolest thing about this is, you know, we don't have to move alone, right? I mean, we learned last week that God started a movement with a guy by the name of Abraham, right? Where God implements what he calls the blessing strategy in Genesis 12. And in that chapter, he tells Abraham, hey, Abraham, you're the guy, right? You're the guy. I'm going to bless you. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you like crazy. And it seemed bizarre at the time. It seemed weird at the time. And yet God was saying, listen, I'm going to bless you like crazy. But the strategy wasn't just to bless Abraham like crazy, but it was to bless Abraham like crazy so that Abraham could bless others like crazy. And it's a beautiful thing because he helped us to understand that the blessing strategy is not just about receiving a blessing, but it's about being a blessing. In fact, this whole idea could be summed up in the phrase that you and I are blessed to be a blessing, because you know what? You are to be a river, not a bucket. You see, there's a difference between a bucket and a river. See, a bucket just simply is a single splash of a blessing. But see, a river travels. It travels and it starts to carve new spaces. See, every good thing in your life, every blessing, you are blessed to be a blessing. And just like this image right here, right? It shows us that the river begins to carve something new. It travels into places and spaces and crevices so that it can be a blessing to people that other people have may even forgotten about. And it's an amazing thing because we get an opportunity to see how we can be a part of the blessing strategy. And so what I like about the blessed strategy is so amazing, because we see that the Apostle Paul, right, there's this guy who writes, and he was a Christian hater, but then he gets converted and God begins to use his life. I mean, Paul just didn't have it together at all, and yet he uses him in order to write some stuff and to connect some dots. And what happens is Paul draws a line for us to anyone who's in Christ, a line from us all the way back to Abraham. That's what he does. It's in Galatians, the third chapter, where he says, in the seventh verse, it says this. Listen to what it says. It says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. In other words, those of us who've decided to have faith in Jesus Christ, we're now a part of that blessed strategy, the blessing strategy that's attached to Abraham, which means that the way that God blessed Abraham like crazy, guess what? The same way that God blesses us like crazy, it's not for us to hold it in a bucket, but for us to be a river that continues to be a blessing to others. And you and I, we're blessed to be a blessing. And so through this series, we're challenging each other to walk this idea of what it means to bless, what it means to bless others, what it means to bless the community, what it means to bless your coworkers, what it means to be a blessing. And so over these next 4 weeks, we're going to walk out five practices we call the Bless Practices. That's right, the blessed practices. You may have heard them before sometime around here at Crosspoint, but the blessed practices are five practices that will help you, and it will help you help people find their way to God. See, these blessed practices aren't just for you, but they're to help you so that you could help other people. And so today we're looking at the B in the BLESS acronym, which means begin with prayer. And I know, right? This is super obvious, right? This is super obvious. You come to church and during the season where all of this crazy stuff is going on, isn't it obvious that the pastor would say, yeah, it's time to pray, right? I mean, begin with prayer. I know it's obvious, but let me tell you, I mean that's one of the blessed practices, that we ought to begin with prayer. And when we begin with prayer, it helps us to set the stage. But I know it's difficult because, you know, it's like, oh, okay, pastor comes and he's like, yeah, pray some more, get me some knee pads, you know, burn a hole in my knees, pray some more, you know, there's things going on in the world, pray some more. But I want you to know that it has power, that prayer is meaningful. But also prayer is a lot like flossing, right? Prayer is kind of like flossing. I know you're like, no, not like the floss, not that weird dance that the students do, but like, you know, floss, like the actual flossing. And before I go any further, any dentist that's watching, I hope you're offended by this, but this is the truth, all right? When we come to you and we come to your office, it's almost like we're walking into a confessional booth, right? I mean, the moment you sit in that dentist chair and you open that mouth and they shine that light on you, you start thinking about all of the things that you haven't done. And for most of us, that number one thing is flossing, right? I mean, the dentist has that look on his face and you're looking at the dentist and you're like, oh my God. Sometimes we even jump the gun and say, listen, I haven't flossed. Don't ask me. I haven't flossed since the last time I've been here, all right? It's just something that I don't do, right? And yet, we know that flossing is good for our health. Flossing could help prevent cavities, right? Flossing has all of these benefits, and yet we just don't do it, right? And so flossing is a lot like prayer, right? We know that there are some benefits to praying, right? Praying helps to establish the day. Praying helps us begin to start the right way, and yet we just don't do it, right? We don't do it. And when I thought about this, I thought about what are the reasons why we don't pray, right? And that there are at least three reasons why we don't pray, right? The first reason is I don't know how, right? For some people, I mean, it is what it is, right? Some of us, we just don't know how to pray, right? I mean, some of us, I mean, the last prayer we learned was, now that I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my, I hear you at home. You're continuing it, my soul to keep, right? That was the last time you learned how to pray. You haven't done a different prayer since. And it's okay, right? Because some people, you just don't know how. And maybe you know how to pray, but you know what? You're too busy, right? That's the second reason. I'm just too busy. I don't have time. I got work, and my kids are in rec sports, and they got activities at school, and we just don't have the time. I'm too busy. Right, I don't have time to spend with God and to find time to carve out for us to pray. And maybe you're not too busy. Maybe it's not your schedule. But for you, maybe you don't pray because you doubt it works. I mean, and that's a reality. I mean, for a lot of us, we just doubt that prayer even works, right? I mean, we pray and we pray for things and things didn't happen the way that we expected it. And you're like, you know what? Who needs to pray, right? I just need to go and work hard and achieve more and save more and do more and run more. And we don't need to pray. I doubt it works. And yet some of us are like, you know, I doubt it works because when I pray, Mark, I don't hear God saying anything. Right? God doesn't talk to me. I know because you're a preacher, you probably hear God. And it's like, he's like, but when I pray, Mark, you know, I don't hear God's voice. And yet I guarantee for most of us, if you were praying and you actually heard God's voice, I can imagine how some of us would act. In fact, check out this clip. We probably act like this guy right here.
Who are you?
I'm the one. Huh? Creator of the heavens and the earth, Alpha and Omega.
See where this is going.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our survey says God! Bing, 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 bing.
Right? I mean, that's pretty much how we would function, right? It's like, oh my God, is this really what I'm hearing? Is the Morgan Freeman voice that we're looking for when we pray, right? And yet, I mean, we just doubt that it works. And hey, listen, you're not alone. I mean, there was a time in my life before I arrived at this place. I remember when I first started taking my walk with God seriously. I was about 20 years old, and I remember just starting a new discipline. That new discipline was simply praying every morning. I made it up in my mind. I said, you know what? I just got back into church. I started trying to get more involved. And I said, God, you know, I think in order for me to grow, I need to be able to do something consistently over time so that you can begin to do some things in my life. And so what I chose to do, I chose to pray every morning in the car. I mean, that's what I would do. And part of that prayer was simply, God, send somebody in my path that I can tell about you. God, help me to help somebody tell them about you. And God, just, you know, continue to bless the whole world. It was a basic general prayer, right? And I was praying it. And I, let me tell you, God was sending people, but it was people who I was already around. I mean, right? It wasn't like people that I didn't know, right? It was like the people that I went to school with, the people that I worked with, right? And it was kind of easy, right? It was like I was praying for something, but the people who I ended up talking about Jesus with were people that were already in my space. And so it wasn't that the prayer wasn't working, but I felt like, well, if I didn't pray, those people would still be there, and I would probably still talk to them anyway. But let me tell you about this one morning. I'm sitting in the car, and I'm praying, And as I say this prayer, I'm like, God, you know, I changed the prayer just slightly. I said, God, you know, send somebody to me that I can tell about your goodness that's not in my network, that's not in my sphere of influence, and let them cross my path so that I can share you with them. And I promise you, I prayed this prayer. I'm sitting in my car. It's about May. I had my windows raised down. The moment I said amen, I hear somebody crying hysterically, and they're walking past my car. It was a young lady, right? Now, I could have allowed her to walk by, but I just was like, oh, my God, are you okay? She's like, no, my life just crumbled before me. She's like, I really don't know what to do. I said, well, where are you going? Like, can I help you? Is there any way that I could assist you? She said, well, I'm on my way to school, but I just got word that my mom has cancer, and my dad died last month. She said, I really don't know what to do. I said, well, you know, I'll take you to school. She went to school down the street. She got in my car. I told her about Jesus Christ. I prayed for her. I listened to her. It was an amazing moment for me to be able to share what God could do for somebody's life. And let me tell you, the trajectory of that lady's life, that girl's life, changed forever. She started coming to the church that I was attending. She started showing up at Bible study, all because I was praying for something to happen. And that moment helped me understand, and it removed the doubt that prayer actually works. And to be honest with you, that was the beginning of what God wanted to do in my life. I was 20 years old, and I didn't really know what to do. But that prayer, praying, was the beginning. In fact, Jesus begins with prayer. I mean, Jesus begins almost everything with prayer, right? I mean, this was not only, like, Jesus didn't just begin his day with prayer. He didn't just start praying at baptism, right? But this is how Jesus' ministry began. It begins with prayer. In fact, look at Luke chapter 4, where it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And what happens is Jesus went off into the wilderness to fast and pray and confront the evil one. And prayer was how he began his mission on earth. I mean, he's praying before he performs miracles. I mean, he's regularly withdrew from the crowd to pray. He prayed for his friends and then that they would remain strong. And even the night before his crucifixion, we can find Jesus in the garden, and he's praying to God. God, if there's another way, if you've got a plan B, God, you can get me out of this. In fact, I can identify with that prayer. Maybe you can too. All of us may have been in a position where we felt like, God, if you can get me out of this one, I'd really appreciate it. If you could just get me out of this speeding ticket, I'd really appreciate it, right? I mean, and even Jesus has this prayer for plan B. I mean, he's praying to God, and I'll take that, right? And he's like, listen, if not my will be done, but your will be done. And even as he's being crucified, he's praying. And you've even seen this in movies, right, where he's hanging on the cross, and he's like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, he's praying. Even while nailed to the cross, Jesus is praying. He's in constant communication with his Father. And now many of us, we know, we're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, right? We're familiar with the Lord's Prayer. And what's fascinating is that right before the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. But There's an important note there, right? Because at this point in Jesus' ministry, the disciples have seen Jesus do all types of stuff, right? I mean, they've watched him walk on water. They've watched him give sight to the blind, right? They've watched him make crippled people walk. And they get an opportunity to ask Jesus anything. And they're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. I'm like, wait. I don't know about them, right? I would have been like, Jesus, teach me how to walk on water. Jesus, teach me how to talk to the sea, right? Jesus, teach me how to do that cool thing where you gave the guy sight back and you made the crippled person walk, right? That's the type of stuff that I would have asked, right? I want to know how to do the cool stuff. But they're like, no. Jesus, teach us how to pray, right? And that's indicative of what was at the center of Jesus' ministry. Because they understood that, listen, if I know how to pray, I too can potentially walk on water. If I learn how to pray, I too can be a part of the miracle and the blessing of someone. If I learn how to pray, then the coronavirus may not give me as much fear because I now have a tool to talk to the Father for deliverance and for healing and for even being a good neighbor in somebody else's life. Guess what? Prayer was at the center of Jesus' ministry. And I mean, this is cool, right? I mean, it's like they could have asked him all of this cool stuff. They're like, no, teach us how to pray. And I think it's just amazing that we can overlook that they wanted to learn how to pray. And so, I mean, this is a good thing, right? I mean, because Jesus models this all the time. He models how this prayer thing works. Look at this in Luke chapter 6, where he writes this, where he records this. He says, but Jesus gets ready to select those who will join him on this mission. And look what Luke 6 says he does. He says, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, my assumption here is that Jesus had a lot of candidates, right? I mean, there had to be, it's not like he needed like to go to ZipRecruiter or LinkedIn online to find some cool people, some good people, some qualified people to hang out with him to help him push his mission, right? No, that's not what he needed to do. But it's not like he did any of that. It was like he might have been maybe tempted to skip the prayer part and just go and pick people who were more qualified, but he doesn't do that, right? He starts with prayer, and prayer helps him be able to discern and decide the people to choose. Now, check this out. I know that Jesus had to pray to pick this group of guys, right? I mean, because he picks the odd guys, right? He picks a tax collector that people don't like, right? He picks a fisherman who's kind of weird, right? He picks a guy who ends up even betraying him, but he's actually good with money, right? I mean, so it's like, well, Jesus, you know, He could have made a different selection, but I know that these selections had to be based on prayer because he was on mission. And he wanted God, his Father, to speak into why the type of people that he wanted to be a part of his mission. And that's what Jesus does. He brings them in. And what I like is when we begin with prayer, God begins to give us clarity. He begins to give us clarity on the who, on the when, on the how to invest. So, I mean, wouldn't we like that kind of clarity? I mean, God, there are a lot of people in the world, but who do you want me to pay attention to? Who do you want me to begin to invest in? Who do you want me to begin to speak life into? I mean, Jesus was intentional about getting on mission. See, I like this because prayer is not only how you do the mission, but it's also how you discover your mission. Right? Prayer isn't just how you do the mission. It's ultimately how you discover your mission. I mean, it's amazing because when you discover your mission and you get the clarity around who you should be praying for and what you should invest your time in and how you ought to operate in community and navigate the various places that you find yourself in, God begins to reveal to you the mission. Let me tell you about this story. When I was in college, this was probably about 7 months after the encounter I had with the young lady. About 7 months later, I ended up having to take a job at the college that I was studying at. Morgan State University. I got hired as a janitor, but my job description said environmental engineer, right? So, I mean, it was pretty a cool title, and I appreciated that, but essentially, I was a janitor. And at the time, I was an electrical engineer major, and that building happened to be on the other side of campus, and I got assigned to the building that was the liberal arts school. Right, the liberal arts building, and the liberal arts building had all of the English majors, and it had the philosophy, and a little bit of psychology, and it had English, and it had the religious studies programs in there, and I happened that semester to be taking a philosophy course, and so it was interesting being in that class during the daytime, because sometimes it was hard for me to focus, because I was watching some of my colleagues throw Snicker wrappers down, and Reese's Cups wrappers down, leaving soda can. I'm like, dang it, I'm going to have to clean that up later, right? But I found myself cleaning up in this liberal arts building one day, and it was at night. I worked the night shift. It was at night, and as I'm cleaning up, I overhear kind of some rumblings happening in this classroom. And so it sounded like some old ladies were having like a prayer meeting inside of the classroom initially, like from afar. But the closer I got up to it, it sounded like there were more younger voices. And at this time, I had been seeking God, and I've been praying every day and every morning for God to do something different, for God to reveal the mission for my life. And at the time, I was just trying to figure it out. I was looking for clarity. And so as I took this job, I'm cleaning, and I hear this room, and I hear this prayer, and all this commotion going on. And eventually, I get close to the room. I get close enough to actually begin to hear them. And I hear them praying for God to bless people whose parents who has cancer. I hear them praying for God to make financial aid moves. I hear them praying for deliverance. I hear them praying for all of these type of things. And I'm like, oh my God. Eventually, I drop the broom and I'm just standing there, and I begin to hijack their prayer time just so that I could be a part of what was happening in this room. And I just believe that it was like some older people that had kind of maybe some faculty members that had taken over. But when they finished praying and they walked out the room, there were students who were 19 and 20 and 21. And this is the first time in my life that I saw people that were my age that were completely on mission with what God had for them to do. And that moment, God was revealing to me that through that prayer time that I encountered while working in that particular job that only lasted, by the way, for a month. I only worked there for a month because they ended up laying me off literally a week after that because of they had budget cuts with the state. And so they ended up laying us off. And so I'm completely aware that the reason why God had me in that position was so that I could be revealed for my purpose and my mission for my life, just because I had been praying for clarity. And that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us, right? He wants to give us some clarity on how to do or how to discover your mission. And one of our goals for this series is for every one of you to have a missional story to tell, that you and I will have a story in 2020 of how God used you in his mission to bless and change the world. I mean, in fact, right now, we have a moment in history where we can begin to bound together so that God can begin to use us to be a blessing to your neighborhood in the midst of all that's going on. We have an opportunity to use and leverage the medium of prayer to being able to impact the world and to change it. I mean, that's one of the goals, so that all of us, we all have a missional story. And so as we think about how prayer begins to move, and how it begins to travel, and how our blessings become like a river, it doesn't just splash a blessing, but it starts to create spaces for blessings. And so as I begin to wrap this up, and I want to wrap this up with a challenge. You ready? Here we go. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to lay out these five missional challenges. It's called the blessed practices. And the challenge for this week, the challenge for this week is just simply this: begin with prayer. This week, I want us to just ask God, okay, what do you have for me today, every day? What adventure do you have for me? Even if it's strange, even if it's awkward, even if you don't understand it, what would it look like for us to begin each day this week with prayer? Okay, God, where do you want to go next? And I want you to start every day by praying and asking God to show me who he wants me to bless today. God, use me to bless your world. Make us a part for God to begin to move and for God to do something with you right where you are. For God to make his mission clear to you, for God to use you to bless someone today. Then this week, when you gather in your small group, start your small group by asking, well, who did you bless this week? And you'll have stories to share because you've been praying and you've been intentional about making that the start of your week and the start of your day. And so this is the challenge. Every day we pray, God, use me to bless someone today. And every week at small group, ask each other, who did you bless this week? Who did you bless this week? In fact, let's start right now. Because I realize that it does us no good if we just talk about this and then you go about your day. But I want to give you something practical, something tangible. And so I want you to just grab your cell phone or grab a pen and grab something to write on. And this is what I want you to do. I want us to make this practical. I want you to take that pen and I want you to begin to take your pen and write down the names. And what I want to do, I want to pray. And as I pray, I want you to write down the names. I want you to be praying and asking God to send you the faces, send you the names, and to show you who he wants you to be a blessing to. All right, because see, the mission is the blessing strategy, and it only moves forward when we are willing to engage and get on board, and we are the places God wants us to be involved in, and we want to have the names, and we want to have the faces. So I want you to write those names. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about those faces and what that would look like. And maybe you already know. Maybe you already know who those people are. Maybe you've encountered them, and maybe you've seen them, and maybe they've crossed your mind already. But do you have the courage to put pen to paper, to put those names down and to be intentional about what God wants to do? I want to pray with you right where you are, and as you begin to think about how God wants to use you through prayer. God, in this moment, as you bring to us names for people who you want to bring back to you. God, some of those names are people that we know. Some of those are names of people who we just met. Some of those are names of people at our places of employment, or names of people at the restaurant we always go to, or names at the coffee shop that we like to frequent. Maybe it's a friend who's been hurting, God, or maybe there's a friend of a friend that you've heard of in conversation that's been hurting. And maybe there's a marriage. Maybe there's a divorce that's happened and it's fractured some students. God, right now, as we put pen to paper, help us to make this prayer very practical so that we can continue to be a part of your work. Last, God, give us courage this week. Courage to step into conversations and situations to be a blessing this week. To make a connect and to bring some light, bring some value into people's lives. God, help us to remember that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so help us to be that blessing today, tomorrow, and throughout this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray.